waiting in my I don't care.
He's 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 waiting and I see his stare.
He's waiting in my I feel sad.
He's waiting in my rotten flesh.
He's waiting in my I feel sad.
The devil is a patient.
The devil is a patient.
The devil is a patient.
A patient man.
The devil is a patient.
The devil is a patient.
The devil is a patient. Patient man.
Welcome to 222 Paranormal Podcast with hosts John and Joe.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in again.
What'd you think of that? That's crud.
It's different.
The
different
devil.
Intro.
Yeah. Kind of fits in with the show. Today, we are going to discuss a TV show that we watched, Zach Bagans' Demon House.
It's a movie.
Yeah, movie show. Whatever. It was on, it was on Amazon. It's a. So what'd you think? No, but I thought it'd be a good thing to discuss because we definitely watched it. And little note before you finish listening to our podcast today. If you have not seen the movie.
There are some spoilers.
Stop
now. Yeah, the spoiler alert. So, you know, tune in until you don't want to hear what we're talking about.
There you go. So hit stop right now. No. You know, we just wanted to go over what we thought of it because it's been a while since I've watched a scary movie.
You know, it's a documentary,
yeah.
Right? So I like watching documentaries myself.
Oh, I do all the time.
I enjoy it. I was pleasantly surprised because I did enjoy it so much. I know there was a lot of hype going into this. You know, they've really did a lot of promotion for it. I think it had a huge inertia before it came out. Like, okay, people were excited. They were really, really hyped up about it. You know, I think they did really good job of marketing it the way they did and getting the buzz going about it. I mean, I was excited.
Yeah.
I couldn't wait to see it.
Anything that Zach puts out, whether it's his museum show or anything like that, you know, or when he was going to open the divot box, that was a big hype.
Yeah, and he never opened it.
I didn't see the show, and he never opened the box.
Never opened it. I really liked the way that it was shot.
Yeah.
You know, looking at it from a screenwriting or a film buff's point of view, I just thought it was really well done how they went into the background of what happened with the people. Who had lived there and experienced different things. And I really felt like it was quite credible because of the testimony of the Child Protective Services, of the...
Several of them.
Yeah. The priest, the author, the...
Officer.
Officer. And several officers who
other ones that refused to even go close to the house.
Right. Yeah. So... I mean, I think there was some level of credibility to what they were saying. And I don't think they would put their reputations on the line for a show unless they were being paid. And, you know, we don't know that. But
yeah. Well, I mean, in a way, I don't know if they get compensated or not, but it is a documentary. So they probably did get compensated in some way. Mm-hmm. But I do know that during the show, when they called him and said there was somebody trying to break in, he got to the house and there were cops all over the place. And they did blur out all their faces and change their voices. I believe they changed their voices. And so maybe they didn't pay them or, you know, I mean, I know that you do have to sign a form saying that I allow my face on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just, one part that I thought was really interesting and I like, you know, that they didn't sugarcoat, you know, what went on with the kids who had come in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly the one teenage girl who, you know, went on to have some issues after she had visited the
house.
That
was kind of weird because now I did watch it a few days ago, so it's kind of blur, you know, my memory. I can't remember anything, but
what's your name?
Yeah. So you know, as myself, Tommy, but did they just pull up in front of the house because they knew that there was more activity, as in like film crews in that there, or they somehow they showed up in front of the house, and the lady said that she lived there before, so she wanted to see what the inside of the house looked like.
Mm-hmm.
She brought her kids in with her.
I'm not sure. I'm sure the buzz about, you know, Zach being in town,
yeah,
probably got the word out, or they could have been driving by and saw a film crew, or mm-hmm. or you know, maybe they were contacted to swing by. Just
yeah, because
you know,
I do know that
know.
He, you know, either him or his team did research the people that lived there before and all that, because he did talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
So she brought her kids in the house, and the kids kind of looked around, but it was really bizarre how after the kids were in there for a little bit, they kind of quieted down and had that blank look on their faces.
Yeah,
and
the one girl was really like just like nothing there,
yeah.
Right? You know, and it was scary, and I was like, is that irresponsible to allow young people or anybody back in a place that supposedly has this kind of activity and these hauntings?
And the woman that said that she lived there before, she knew about all this strange occurrences in the house because she refused to go in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
That's was it her brother that lived down in the basement?
Yeah.
And he tried to kill himself, or he did, or something.
I don't remember, but yeah, so I don't know. Maybe, you know, the mother was like, okay, cool. I'm just going to let my kids in. And, you know, I mean, really,
yeah.
It's up to her if she wants her kids to go in there or not. But, yeah, just.
And that girl, the young girl that was in there, actually tried to commit suicide,
mm-hmm.
Was very violent to her mom.
Yeah, she said she was acting out. And then.
She was cussing in a deeper voice than what she normally has, if I remember right. And. So basically, she was possessed.
I think it, yeah, something definitely got to her. Because, you know, that's not, you know, normal behavior for teenagers.
Yeah.
I was one once, right?
Yeah. I remember looking at, if anybody ever visits mom's house, take Jen's picture off the wall and look at all the other pictures.
God.
You got the phase where you dyed your hair black.
I was trying to find myself.
Oh. We were all cool back then. But I think my high school picture is still on mom's wall.
You look the same. You have the same stash. 35 years later.
10 years ago. So I was thinking, okay, it's just odd that Zach acquired this house. But then after doing a little more research and remembering what the show was, he was actually contacted by a priest that was called by the family.
Mm-hmm.
And by him finding out more about the house, Zach ended up buying the house.
Yep.
Sight unseen. He never visited the house. And then he shows up, and there were squatters there, which was odd. And, you know.
Like, how do you buy a house like
sight
like
unseen?
That?
Well,
you're like, here's my credit card, or
if you have the money, you can. You
yeah,
know what I mean,
guess.
I'm sure
wire funds or something.
Yeah.
But yeah,
but yeah, and that's, you know, thinking about that, you know, okay, you got a title agency, you got to go through, you know, but you know, he's got the connections, he can.
Yeah, I'm sure he's probably got
his lawyer contacted some other
lawyers,
and,
real estate
yeah.
agents, all mm-hmm. that kind of help. Yeah.
So he bought the house sight unseen, and him and the crew drove down there, and they showed up at the house. And there were squatters there, and they asked, you know, the squatters if they saw anything. And I think Zach actually paid them to leave. But
you never know.
You know, you do have to be tactful about it, when, especially if he's filming these people and all
mm-hmm.
that. And but the squatters say that they didn't see anything out of the ordinary. But then the one guy said, well, I've seen some stuff, and he didn't use the word stuff, because they're allowed to cuss on the show.
Right.
Yeah, which was odd, because Zach was like kind of tough because he's cussing now and that. But
he wasn't bleeped out like
yeah.
on Ghost Adventures.
But the guys, when he found out who Zach was and all that, his whole story changed, and he wanted to get paid to,
yeah,
you know. But all in all, the squatters didn't see anything. But there was so much history of the house that every single person that lived there was affected.
Mm-hmm. But why weren't the squatters?
Don't know. Maybe they weren't there long enough.
Maybe.
Of course, in the show, though, everything happens real quick.
Yeah. Yeah, Zach wasn't there too long and stuff happened.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe they weren't open to it, or maybe they were just like spaced out. Maybe they were on drugs or something.
You know, maybe something did happen.
Allegedly.
And they just don't know it because they're on something.
But. Yeah. I mean, if you're squatting in a house, you're probably not, mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever. So some of the claims that the young boy was speaking in tongues, had possession, and walked up a wall.
Yeah, what happened was he was acting out, and they knew something was wrong, and the social workers came and all that. They ended up taking him to the hospital, and in the hospital room with the social worker, the doctor, a nurse, the mother,
mm-hmm.
he walked up the wall backwards.
Oh, yeah.
And was like hovering above them, and a few of the, I don't know who freaked out and ran out of the room, but I know the mother stayed and that, but the social worker, I think she ran out of the room.
Yeah, she seemed pretty affected by it.
Definitely.
And what was interesting too was that they had some of the social workers' case footage.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't you think that would be
property of the state?
No, confidential because it involves a minor.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a recreation of their, who knows? I don't know.
Yeah. I know that on the film or on the movie, him walking up the wall and all that was all definitely recreated,
Because it wasn't a film. Yeah, they do a lot of B-roll.
Yeah.
Especially like in the show and in this movie.
But one thing that was interesting about the social workers is the two that came in and worked with them, they both had issues after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, major issues. And thinking about all the things that happened to them and everybody that lived in that house, I do know that they found black mold in the attic,
mm-hmm.
and they did find some gas leaks. People can be really affected by black mold. I mean, if it's strong enough in the air, it will cause a lot of different issues with people, including mental illness. They'll go a little insane because of it.
Like how so? Like,
it's almost like a sickness, and you kind of can't think straight, you lose your balance, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Severe cases, I should say.
Weakness and dizziness.
And if they're living in a house breathing that stuff in for a long period of time, I mean, I'm not saying that's what caused everything that mm-hmm. happened, but, it's a possibility. And another thing that will definitely affect the human body is the Earth's magnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the show, they do have the doctor come in with his geomagnetometer,
mm-hmm.
say that 10 times.
No.
And he does find that there are some really high spikes in the house. Okay. And then the point where he points it towards Zach, mm-hmm. and it starts going nuts, and Zach is getting all upset, getting violent, all mm-hmm. that. And he even lunged towards the guy and stuff. So I don't know. I mean, can that be something that affected him?
Sure. I mean, anything could, even high EMF can, make you see hallucinations and, mm-hmm. affect your vision.
Well, I do know that when we were at the Toledo Yacht Club, one of the teams had a EMF pump.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, I got close to that thing. I felt weird.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Hmm.
I'm not good with magnets. I don't know. Weird that way. I don't know. But
maybe because you got struck by lightning.
Yeah. And then the metal plate in my head. No. But I definitely know that different stuff like that will affect you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while on the subject, let's talk about that doctor that came in with his geomagnetometer, which I looked up to buy. I'd love to have one of those things. He came in and he's a well-known researcher. He's with years and years of experience, documenting all kinds of paranormal activity and natural occurrences.
Mm-hmm.
And he was affected too.
He almost died.
Yeah.
His internal organs started shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
They had no explanation for it. And I wonder how he's doing now. It's been a couple of years.
Yeah.
So that would be interesting to see, like, a follow up, like, where are they now?
Yeah.
You know, like, type thing.
Mm-hmm.
I you know, like, you often wonder, you know, is it something science can explain, or is it truly, you know, something otherworldly? Now,
yeah.
They're claiming that there were some mediums, unnamed mediums or clairvoyants is what they were, claimed that there were over 200 demons in that house.
Yeah.
So, like, why is that such a hot spot for demons?
Yeah.
You know, what happened in that house?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the interesting thing is when they were doing the investigation, and remember when they went downstairs and started digging up the dirt underneath the stairs? One was like, why was there dirt there
yeah.
when everything else was cemented? But it's interesting, like, the things that they found in the dirt. Tell everybody what they found.
Well, first off, yeah, it's really weird that out of all the basement that was all cemented, like a normal basement, that one spot under the stairs
mm-hmm.
was disturbed dirt. It mm-hmm. wasn't like an old house that has dirt floor and it's all packed down. This mm-hmm. was a... Now, they did show a clip of what he said was an altar
mm-hmm.
under the steps, and it looked to me just like a aluminum pan. So, I don't know, but the house definitely had a lot of religious relics in it, but underneath the steps... When they started digging it out, they found an old comb.
Mm-hmm.
They said panties, so women's clothing. And did they find kids' stuff under there?
I thought they did find a few little trinkets.
That's I was thinking shoes for some reason, but I don't remember if they did or not. But anyhow, that really stuck out in my mind, because what did we find, or what I say we, what did they find at the bone house?
Same type of things.
Yeah.
Talismans, you know, so like there were
a comb, women's clothing, children's clothing,
mm-hmm.
Besides the love notes and stuff that they yeah. found at the bone house,
but in the walls, right? So like obscured,
yeah,
no.
Yeah. It was an antique comb they found, women's clothing that in the walls of the
yeah.
bone house,
mm-hmm. wrapped up, like not like maybe it got thrown there.
Yeah.
It was like purposely. Because
I was
there.
Thinking, when I first saw the show, I was thinking, okay, it's in the basement. Okay, there's dirt in the basement, and they found children's clothing, panties, and a comb. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Okay, you do your laundry in the basement. You know,
yeah,
who knows what the house looked like? I mean, it could have been down the basement. Could have been just piles of clothes everywhere, and that. So.
Yeah.
You don't know, but then for them to find it, it just stuck out in my mind when they said that they found an old comb. I mean, what does that have to do with either religion or demonology or something?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think in any old home, you're going to find stuff like
yeah.
who, you know, like, but when it seems like it's placed there ritualistically,
mm-hmm.
like
exactly,
you might find something here or there, but when you're finding things, maybe in some kind of pattern or area or the way that it's maybe put in there or presented, you know, whether it's wrapped up, like you could find like a lock of hair inside
mm-hmm.
of something, you know, like
yeah.
that's not a random thing that you would find.
No.
Like, or like what we found or what they found in the bone house, the, you know, unrequited love letters
yeah.
written in Spanish.
Vintage
you know.
Spanish.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
yeah.
it's like a, you know, like in the 1800s, they didn't talk the same as we do now.
Right, yeah.
So
yeah.
they found the Spanish version of that. But
what did you think about Zach locking himself in there completely?
It
I
was,
mean, like being
yeah.
literally boards going
yeah.
up and being
to me, that was
in.
More for the drama of the show.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing I thought of was, yeah, he's going to lock himself in. And of course, the officer that they talked to throughout the whole show, he was like, I don't know if you want to do that. You know, he says, if anything happens, we want the fire department on standby to break down the door. And I'm like, and then, you know, they did. They sealed him in with drywall screws in the wall. He could not get out of that house. And he did at one point open the window and there was a board. And he did say it's kind of a strange feeling
mm-hmm.
knowing that you are locked in. If something
trapped.
Happened, he would not be able to get out because the amount of force it would have took to break those boards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that, you know, I mean, how else do you prove that you're truly locked into
yeah.
a place,
it
right?
It's actually pretty cool, I thought, that he did that. But one question I have is, why do you have two chairs brought in? Why do you only have one chair? He had a nice big comfy chair and then an older looking chair that he sat in. Yeah, I mean,
something I don't think
that,
I could do it.
No?
You're not going to lock me in a
but
house.
But the thing is, too, though, no you have way. Your film crew outside. Mm-hmm. You have multiple cameras and microphones inside the house. So they knew exactly what he was doing the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but the psychological factor of knowing that you're in there by yourself, locked in, trapped, knowing the history of that house, knowing that every single person that has dealt with that house has had some kind of major illness or injury right after leaving that house.
Do you think that Zach knew what he was getting into, or do you think once he was in there and experienced what he did, he regretted it?
No, I think he knew what he was getting into because he's a professional about it. I mean, this is his life.
Yeah.
He knew what was going on. He knew that by that time, they already did some investigations and a lot of stuff happened already. And he interviewed a lot of people already. They told him a lot of different stories about what happens in that house.
So do you think that, I don't know how to say this. Do you think it was irresponsible of him to go in and do that and risk it, knowing that something really terrible could have happened to him and ruined his career or his health or his life?
Well, if something did happen on film, it wouldn't ruin his career.
He'd be dead.
Would have been escalated to a whole new level. But,
you
know, when he was locked in there, you could hear kids' voices.
No, that was really creepy. That, man, that like gave me the goosebumps. There was a couple of times watching that, especially the end.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about in a little bit.
But I was kind of...
It gave me the willies.
When I heard, you know, I was watching, and when I heard that, I was like, even to myself, I'm like, did you hear that? And it kind of goes back to when we were at like the Toledo Repertoire Theater, when we investigated there, I heard voices. I think everybody heard voices by the front door, and we right away went out, and we're talking, what, 3 a.m?
Mm-hmm.
And there was nobody walking up and down the streets of that. Mm-hmm. And it was the same way at the Bone, or at the, I almost said Bone House. At the Demon House, when he was locked in, you could hear children's voices, and they have cameras all outside. They showed right away the outside, and it was dead. It was snowing out.
Yeah, kids
are no cars
like, out playing in the freezing middle of the night, right? Well, you never know. Some people let their kids do whatever. But what did you think about him, you know, having what he's calling like angry demon goats in his dreams coming to him before he locked himself in?
That was interesting because in the documentary, he had dreams about that in his hotel and didn't tell anyone. And then after the cameraman freaked out.
I mean,
he freaked out, you know, and he even looked at Zach and Zach was like, well, who'd you see in the elevator? And the guy looked right at Zach and said, you know who I'm talking about. Mentioning about the goat man.
Yeah. That was a little freaky.
Yeah. I mean, that guy freaked out. He has 666 tattooed on his hands now. He doesn't talk to anybody.
And, you know, the weird thing is there's a lot of controversy about that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people are trying to piece the timeline together. Did he do this interview before he got the tattoo or after or whatever? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, you really have to know all of the circumstances. Well, yeah, he could have a freak out, but he could have other things going on in his life.
But the thing is, if you look at the video of him in the hotel and all that, and when he's talking, and then he says, you know, I just felt something touch my hand. You can see his hand. He has no tattoos on it.
Mm-hmm.
So he definitely got those afterwards.
Yeah.
But he freaked out. That's another thing that makes me think is, okay, all of us in the paranormal field know when you leave a location, you say a prayer or whatever. Obviously, Zach and them don't do that.
Do some kind of closing.
Yeah.
Or tell the things to stay there. Yeah. Well, you know what? He, you know, I don't know what his story was, but I don't think he was, you know, a regular part of the crew. So, you know, he may have just come in for this particular document, you know, been hired for this particular documentary.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how long he's been with the crew or...
I don't think very long because I think they would have known to do something. Or, you know, like they may, you know, like want to pull the trigger and not do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it invokes things to follow him back to the hotel. Those poor hotel workers, they probably have a bunch of demons running around in there now. Like, oh, God.
But then again, you know, it's TV. He may have been a plant. We don't know.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. Right. We don't know.
It's like the great unknown.
Yes.
What happens in reality TV?
So time goes on and other things happen in the show. I'm trying to remember. Oh, Zach, while he was locked himself in,
mm-hmm.
had instant headache. His eyes were burning. And he says that he has permanent damage because of that.
Yeah, so what they said, well, what he said that he has is diplopia, double vision. He claims it's permanent and that he had to get corrective lenses have eye surgery.
They use what they call prism glasses.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, that's pretty freaking serious now.
Yeah.
Was that because he was pressing on his eyes because it hurt so bad? Or did that happen? I don't know. That thing that came at him at the end,
mm-hmm.
that seemed like a very natural human reaction.
Yeah.
The way he reacted, right? Like, that didn't look like it was, to me,
yeah,
my opinion, that it was scripted. I truly think, because first you hear that, like, growl or whatever that was. I'll just call it a growl. You guys can, call it whatever you want.
And earlier in the investigations and all that, that doctor, remember, he was in the basement and said, "Do you hear dogs?"
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. My opinion, I think something was there. I think something appeared to him and wanted to show Zach what kind of power it really had, because, mm-hmm. Zach's trying to prove that it's not there. This thing, if it's truly that powerful, it's just going to say, guess what I can do?
Yeah,
exactly. You don't think I'm here, or you want me to prove that I'm here? Here you go.
They're saying 200 demons.
All right.
In that house.
There had to be one powerful one. Mm-hmm. There's always a leader of the pack, right?
Leader of the pack.
leader of the pack. God, we're stupid. But I don't know. What did you think about that point where he was on the bed and heard that growl and then threw his cell phone.
Yeah, I don't remember.
He threw something at it and it shattered. Did you think he was credible? Do you think that he was?
That's possible. It's tough because I look at it as it is a show. And knowing Ghost Adventures, he freaks out a lot, But it's hard to say. It's really hard to say. But I think in this movie, he had the freedom, to do and act the way that he wants to. I know that he is the boss and he does on his regular show do things, but I think it was a lot more freedom because, for one, they could cuss. So mm-hmm. his demeanor could have been better or mm-hmm. worse, I should say. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about. It's completely different than being the regular TV show.
I'm thinking too, though. Okay, so like I'm thinking as a viewer, an outside bystander. Even though you and I've been in many investigations mm-hmm. and seen some scary stuff, but I don't think he would risk his reputation and everything that he's built up, and as many people were involved. I don't think he would try to fake anything.
Yeah.
Right. Because it would be so easy for anybody that's in that circle
mm-hmm.
or outside or watching or walking by or whatever to take evidence of this being faked or leaking something.
Yeah.
'Cause there's always somebody who's trying to get ahead. Those people who wouldn't talk to him because they were talking to somebody else, they were in it for the money, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
They refused to talk to him.
There's always somebody out there somewhere mm-hmm. who, would definitely slit another person's throat
mm-hmm.
to prove something wrong to make money, right? Yeah.
And that brings up a good point too, is those people that were living in the house were already talking to somebody to make a movie about it.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach kind of cut him off at the chase by putting out his own documentary.
Right. But I just don't think he would risk everything he's built up with the Travel Channel and his show and his museum and, his, I guess you would call his legacy.
Yeah.
Over a fake documentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, there really wasn't a whole lot of evidence in there. There was a lot of eyewitness accounts. But, there was evidence in there. We heard the growl.
The kids' voices. That was freaky.
Yeah, that was freaky. The, you know, the thing coming at him and his, just the way he reacted. I mean, you know, I'd be freaky too, or freaked out too, and probably act that. I don't think I could have that natural reaction if I was trying, you know, okay, let me do take 10, you know, like,
So after he got himself unbarricaded from the house, do you I don't remember what he did right after that. What did they, did he just go into his banter about his experience?
I think they just kind of ended it. Okay, so he's standing in the kitchen and he's, you know, rubbing holding his eyes. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of cuts to what they did with the house.
Okay, so yeah, he ended up tearing the house down. And that's another thing about I really like about Zach's filming in that.
Mm-hmm.
His B-roll is really good.
Yeah.
They filmed the truck pulling up, and it was snowing. And they, like, I think it was the beginning of the show, he was walking down the street. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is great B-roll.
Yeah.
You know, but anyhow, they filmed the truck coming up with the tractor on the back.
Mm-hmm.
They showed him tearing down the house, which brings us back to the same stuff we've said many, many times on this show. Yeah, he tore the house down, but there's 200 demons in that house.
What did they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Where did those demons go? Okay, so did they try to banish them?
Yeah. On the show, he didn't do any kind of cleansing or nothing. Mm-hmm. He just tore the house down.
And, you know, there was just to go back to, we forgot to mention this, but the oil that was dripping on the...
totally forgot about that. On the blinds.
On the blinds. Now, that was unexplainable. They couldn't figure out where it was coming from. I'm like, what would cause that? So they cleaned the blinds.
It came back.
And it came back.
And the girl that tried to commit suicide touched it.
Yes.
So did
the doctor.
Yeah. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. Freaking.
Did they have it analyzed?
I don't know.
I don't remember. I'll have to watch the show again. So anyhow, they tore the house down.
Yeah. So like, where did these demons go if they've torn the house down? They have, you know, like, are they just dispersed out into the wilderness? Were they banished back to hell?
I know we've asked a lot of people on our show about that. Yeah. And a lot of people give different answers in that. Mm-hmm. And he saved the stairs. He saved the dirt from under the stairs, put it in a lockup storage unit.
Yeah.
So now
it's in his museum.
If it's attached to, if that stuff is haunted. So everything in the storage units were haunted. And
Grandma's antiques are now haunted. So
how many dolls were in that storage? Oh,
So now it's in his museum. So he has a room that he's put these artifacts in there.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. You got to see the after. Like,
yeah.
The
so,
after show. I didn't see it.
Yeah. So they, you know, they had some lost footage stuff, which was just as compelling. So they kind of went back and went through it again. And one of the things that I thought was really incredible, and I don't know if there would have been a way to make this happen, because they had a shot where the I believe the guy who had all the health issues, or the priest, I can't remember who was in the house at the time, he was going into one of the bedrooms. The cameraman is following him, so he's panning left to right and then back right to left. He's looking from the living room. You see the bathroom door, then you see the bedroom, and then he comes back, and it's one continuous shot, and it's probably only like 3 or 4 seconds, you know, a frame. When they pan one way, there's nothing there. He pans back, and there's something standing in that doorway.
The black mass.
Black mass with two red glowing eyes, and you can clearly see it.
Oh, I didn't see the glowing eyes. Now, they did show that in the normal show, and there was a black mass that appeared. And then a few minutes later, the guy actually put his hand on the door jamb right where that black mass was and says, wow, this is really cold. But I didn't see the eyes.
Yeah. So what they showed in the lost footage was two eyes staring out. And it was pretty, it was really scary. I mean, like, I was like watching it by myself and I'm like, ah! because it happened so fast, and then they slowed it down. So you could tell there was no break, nothing there. And it was just staring at you, and I was like, holy wooly. That was really freaky.
I do know that the cameras that they use are like, I the one I saw that they were using for that house looked like a digital camera on a shoulder mounted, you know, tripod holder. So in order to get your hand in front to fake it, you almost have to back the camera up off your shoulder, and that, and it would have shook the heck out of that camera.
Yeah. Yeah. So it, that was really interesting. I mean, I'd like to see that again, and I'll probably watch it again, you know, the whole thing through with the lots footage. And I don't know. Final opinion, Joe. What
I
do you
actually
think?
Liked it. I really did. I mean, as a film, or should I say the technical aspect of it was really good.
Yeah, I thought the quality was really good.
Really good. I mean, like I was saying, the B-roll and all that, it really makes the it makes the show so much better when you have good stuff like that.
Yeah, and the continuity, you know, they weren't jumping all around from here to there.
Yeah.
It kind of had a flow of the story of, like, you know, the start to finish. So, you know, that was interesting. And you know, I felt bad for those young people, or that young girl who, you know, just felt the need to, you know, harm herself.
Yeah.
And hopefully she's gotten some help, you know, after, you know, some aftercare about that.
But like, it's like we said a little while ago, every single person that, that dealt with that house has issues, some kind of medical. I know the social worker got in a bad accident right afterwards. The cop, he got in an accident and he was shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, bad things happen to him. And it goes back to things we've said on the show many times, is you leave these locations, you got to do your closing prayer of some sort.
And wasn't the city, it was Gary, Indiana, right?
Yeah.
And that was like, wasn't that at one time the murder capital of the world?
I think it still is. I don't know. But back then when that was going on.
I mean, that's just
kind of. It was really rough. It's a rough neighborhood.
Yeah.
There was, and.
Just think of all the.
Goes back to it. If it's a portal, is it affecting all those neighbors?
Yeah.
Is it the dark part of the neighborhood, you know?
And you wonder, too, what's happened since they've torn it down. So it's been probably 2 years since they torn it down.
Yeah, they tore it down in 2016.
So where, you know, where, one, where do the demons go? Did they just go next door? Like,
yeah,
is that responsible? Like, okay, we're going to tear this down. Okay, bye, demons. Go next door.
And I just, knowing now that, you know, they posted, did they actually say the address?
They didn't, but people have put it online.
Okay. So you know that the neighborhood's being visited by people to see where the location is.
Yeah, like, who's to say they're not going and digging dirt out of that?
Or going in there and doing seances, or.
I swore there was some kind of activity going on, that kind of thing. Like,
but I mean, now after the film, after the movie's out, you know there's people going. It's just a place now for people that want to be demonologists or whatever to go to try to summon them.
Yikes.
Yeah. I mean,
yikes.
You know, it's got to happen.
There are those people out there. They'll,
So, yeah, overall, I think it was a really good show. I definitely would watch it again.
Mm-hmm. I think it was worth the hype, worth the wait.
Yeah.
Even though we didn't, we saw it. We saw it on YouTube.
Did we see it illegally? No.
No. It was on YouTube.
It was
But then it was taken down.
We had a pre-screening.
A pre-screening.
But I did watch it a couple of days ago, though, so.
Yeah.
On my paid service.
You know, the sad part is there won't be a part two because they tore it down.
Well, how do you know that? The part two may be what, like you said, where are they now type deal thing.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be cool. But, I, you know, hopefully he does this kind of documentary with other locations, you know, that maybe have activity. No, I know it's interesting, too, and just like on a side note, that for many, many years, the show Ghost Adventures always went to locations, like public locations. Mm-hmm. Now, just in this past season, they've gone to personal residences.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had a case where a young man committed suicide in the house, and he was a very big Ghost Adventures fan, and he had some kind of, I don't know if he was autistic or he had some kind of mental issue, and he would only watch three shows, and Zach's was one of them, and ended up committing suicide in the, it was very, very recent when they went in to film, like within a couple weeks. Zach actually went and dug the bullet out of the wall in the bathroom for the mom. Yeah, because she couldn't go in there. She ended up going in there and it was too traumatic for her. But just an interesting change in how they're the show, you know, because it was forever. It's always locations. Yeah, like public locations.
It's just weird because Zach never told me that they were doing stuff like that. Huh.
Why didn't he tell us?
He never tells me anything.
He doesn't love me.
But
I love his hair.
Okay, so going from that, but yeah, I thought it'd be really good to bring this up for our show and bring our, you know, talk about what we thought about that show because it's definitely a really good show.
Yeah, you know, like and Aaron was not a part of it.
I know.
You know, that was like, okay, was that just too much for him to handle or was he just not a part of it? Or maybe he's busy or something.
I don't know. I'll have to ask him.
Okay, you ask him. yeah. But anyways.
I'll have to start stalking
him. So that's a recap. Oh, you can do it on social media. Everybody else does. Including myself. No, but, you know, like, we just wanted to recap and, you know, just give our 2 cents worth, our movie review.
Yeah.
Hopefully you guys, you know, have seen it. And if you haven't, go watch it. I think it's worth the watch.
It is. I don't think we really gave any spoilers.
No. It's
because now they're looking forward to seeing the scenes we talked about.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think it's worth the watch. I thought it was really well done. And yeah.
And speaking of talking to ghosts.
I wanted to
mention this at the beginning of the show. And I totally forgot. We had a chance to be on a talk show.
Yay.
Scott got a hold of us, and we're on Ghostly Talk Radio.
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys heard us. We had brought Scott on the show. We ran into him at one of the conventions.
Mm-hmm. The UFO convention.
Which was really great, and just a nice person. I know Joe had already listened to his podcast. And
it's one of the shows I normally regularly listen to.
Yeah, and it's really cool, and we were like really thankful that he asked us to be on his show since we had him on our show. So you guys, you know, go and check it out. And
yeah, it'll be out next week. It'll be out next week after you listen to this. It's at ghostlytalk.com. And I don't know if we did good or bad. He said we did really good. But
check us out.
Yeah, check it out. Go to ghostlytalkradio.com.
Yeah.
So it's ghostlytalk.com.
Yeah, and you know what's nice about his show is they really have a different perspective about the paranormal. They really dig deep into the subject, and you just get a lot of good information. And he's entertaining. I really like listening to his voice. He has just one of those voices that it's just nice to listen to.
He has a Ghostly Talk radio voice.
Yeah.
But and he had some really good guests on, too.
Oh, my gosh.
I was honored to be part of it.
Thanks,
Scott. Other things, too.
And Amber for hosting us.
It was awesome. I had a lot of fun. And another thing.
What's that?
If you would like to have us at your event, we are booking our events. The calendar's filling up, folks.
Yeah.
So if you would like us at one of your events, get a hold of us. We'll talk.
Yeah, definitely. If you guys are putting something on and have some vendor space available, we'd love to come and come out and hang out. Bring all our folks.
Yeah.
To the show. I got the hiccups, sorry.
Uh-oh. Well, that's time to end then.
Good time to end. Got the hiccups.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening this week. Tune in next week for an amazing show. And let's leave them with a little crud called The Devil.
Peace out, everybody. Have a good week.
See you later.
Devil is a patient, man. Devil is a patient. Devil is a patient man.